was good, wasn't it? Woo, man, this is a great night. I'm not kidding. And I just rejoice in all that are serving the Lord. That's amazing. I have two people I want to honor. Can I do that, Pastor? Okay, I didn't tell him I was going to do this, but I'm in the mood. I thank God for Brother Rigsby. Woo! He introduced me to brisket and cinnamon rolls. I've never gotten over it. I love you, brother. He's a dear, dear friend. Thank God for him and his wife. And then a great secretary, Charlotte. Charlotte Weiler. Let's give her a round of applause. She put up with me for a number of years. She never complained. I'm sure when she went out of my office, she was like, oh boy, here we go again. But she did a great job. And I had never directed a college before. Really, Charlotte helped me direct the college. There's no doubt about it. And we love them, the Weilers. They're so precious. Thank the Lord for these people. Thank the Lord for everybody that has encouraged you. Amen. I heard a preacher got on Facebook the other day and was talking about how we need to show appreciation for those that have had a part in our life. Now you go back to where you started. So this happened years ago, probably before I came to Texas. I called up all of the people that had influenced my life, from my youth pastor, my dad, I could just go on and on, preachers that I worked for, and man, it just thrilled. I was crying, thanking God for the privilege of serving, and my wife and I celebrate 45 years in ministry this year, and it's like we couldn't do anything worthwhile by ourselves. And I just thank God for his goodness. Boy, that was precious. Take your Bibles quickly and go to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. I want to speak about the treasure of your time. Your time. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 90, look with me there at verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto what? Go with me to verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Our Heavenly Father, I think of our time. I think of the years that you've given to each of us. I thank you, Lord, for your calling in our lives to serve you. Every person in this auditorium right now has been called by you to do something. May we answer the call. And may you use us in a mighty way for your glory and honor. Make good stewards out of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to show you two verses that reveal time, but I want you also to notice secret sins. God knows how much time we are spending with him. He knows how much time we're spending in his ministry. This is Jesus' ministry. And he knows. He calculates. He's keeping records. And he never makes a mistake. And one day we are all going to stand before him. And the Bible tells us that we're going to give account of ourselves to God. And he mentions that we need to number our days. teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. I don't know how many days I have. Every once in a while, I'm shocked that I heard of somebody passed away. I think of Mike Patterson. I know he was a potential death case on a number of occasions, but none of us believe that all of a sudden he's gone to glory. His time was done. And I think about my time, and I think about your time, because I'm preaching to you. Your time is precious to God. And if he's going to make us give an account of our time, we ought to apply ourselves unto wisdom. I'd like to ask this question. Do you find that you don't have enough time? Or do you have time to burn? My son bought me a new phone a few years back, and, well, this is the second one, but anyway, it popped up on there how much time I had spent on the phone each day. I almost went into cardiac arrest. I couldn't believe it. I knew they were wrong. They had miscalculated, but they didn't. And a lot of that time was what we call wasted time. Just how much time do you spend watching commercials on TV? I think that's the nuttiest thing in the world. It clicks off when it comes on. I click off the commercial. Time, and I find something else I can do. In fact, my wife and I got this new thing going where whenever it's a commercial, we get up and do something around the house. I don't know how she talked me into it. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible talks about to everything, there's a season and a time. The Bible said it is time for thee to work. Amen. A wise man's heart discerneth time and judgment. Are you a good judge of your time? Or do we fall in the couch potato section of life? Or the retirement, let somebody else do it. When we know that we are able to do something for God and we're not doing it. Sometimes we do need a break, but we must always remember that we are always on call. And when God uses someone to help us to redeem the time, because the days are evil, we can't let up. We must apply ourselves to the great work that God has given to us. The Bible talks about a set time. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 21, the Bible says, Sarah shall bear unto me at the set time. I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah thy wife shall have a son. God's in the right time. God knows when he's going to do things. And you know, God made Abraham and Sarah wait 25 years in order for the promise that he had made to them to come to pass. And they got a little nervous, and they tried to work things out themselves, and they made some mistakes. Instead of waiting on God and making sure that they don't make a mistake or commit a sin. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, and Sarah shall have a son. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken unto him. God is a God of order. This is the way, walk ye in it. Isaiah 30:21. God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33. Let all things be done decently and in order. 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Romans chapter 14, verse 16. Abstain from all appearance of evil. How many people have messed up their service for God because they allowed themselves to do something they should not have done? We need to make sure that everything we do brings glory and honor to the Lord at home. If you can live a godly life at home, you can live a godly life at church. If you're not living a godly life at home, you're going to skirt responsibility, and you're not going to feel like you want to do that because you've allowed yourself to let sin into your life to where that takes the joy out of service. You're not rewarded when you're doing it with a wrong motive. Oh, the pastor asked me to do this because nobody else will do it. Instead of saying, he must have asked me because he knew it would get done. What an honor. Amen. We should never get to the place where we feel like, I'm above that. I'm above that. You wouldn't even be sitting here if it wasn't for God. And your introduction to God and God's moving on your life to bring you to salvation, who are we to ever say, oh, I don't want to do that? Whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. I want to take a moment. Every one of us have 168 hours in a week. I think if you really wanted to be a true tither, you'd give 16 hours a week to God. Can I get an amen right there? Amen. Yeah, let me give you some ideas on how you could pull that off. Spend 5 hours a week in personal devotion. Amen. How long has it been since you had a time with God where it was significant? Where you didn't want it to end? Where you read the verses and you understood them and you applied them. There's not enough meditation going on, is there? That means we would make it to Sunday morning, Sunday school, morning worship, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's another 2 hours. Sunday would be another 2 hours. Visitation, we could put 2 hours in there. I love those amens. 2 hours would include coming and going. Time to sow a few seeds. Go in tears and reap in joy. Help people in need. Meet new prospects. Visit hospitals. People that are in need. You could also spend time with devotions with your family. 15 minutes every day for 6 days. Then church counts on Sunday. Wouldn't you agree? So I'm at about 15.5 hours. That I just shared with you that you could do, and that would just be the tithe of your time. Okay, now, we need to sleep. Not during the service. Don't duck your head back there. We're not having prayer meeting. We're having a service. Amen? Huh? Oh, there's something great about getting rest. Let's say 7 days a week, you get 8 hours. We're going to give you 8 hours. Amen. That puts you at, let's see. You've got 96 hours left. If you get 8 hours sleep each day, then we've got, you got to go to work. You know, the Bible says if a man will not work, neither should he eat. I love to work. So we're going to say you've got 40 hours a week working. Now, some work more than that, so let's go ahead and just give them 50 hours, okay? That would be some overtime each week. How many like overtime? No, you don't. You just like the money you get from it. Your work time, okay? Let's move on to your personal time. Now, this is your personal, private time, all right? We've got 46 hours left, all right? Now, this personal time would be, you know, on the phone, maybe on the internet some, maybe a movie.
Some of you would be politics.
Man, if you spent as much time with God as you spent with politics, you'd be a spiritual hero. Huh? Your homework, maybe something you're doing around the house, they're just your personal time, maybe a hobby that you may have. You ought to keep track on your personal time, how much time you spend with yourself. I think that's important. Amen. Some people think the Christian life's a bore. I love the Christian life. It's so exciting. There's so many neat things you can do. And it's fun to live for the Lord and to serve the Lord. But it's fun to take personal time. Go get a coffee or something, maybe. Amen. I just found out about Dutch Brothers, amen, in town. Have you ever seen Dutch Brothers? I said, it was Starbucks is $4. And I think that they're about $4 or $5, too. So we will frequent that not so much. Especially when you grind at home yourself, amen. That personal time is important. So now you figure 1 hour every day. So there's another 5 hours that you're spending for yourself. Then we talk about family time. We've only got 41 hours left. 41 hours left. That's about 5 hours, just over almost 6 hours every day. That would be meal time and recreation maybe with the family. Doing things together. You know what really saddens me is so many families don't even communicate anymore. I found out people aren't listening when they're on their phone. People get in accidents while they're on their phone. Interesting, isn't it? Did you know that it used to be when mom said it's time to eat, people came to the table, but now they jump in the car to go to a restaurant. What happened to communicating? I'll say hi to young people sometimes and they just look at me and walk off. They don't even acknowledge the fact that I was nice to them. Huh? They don't know how to communicate. One of the craziest things that ever happened when I was traveling, this is when phones, well, they'd been out for a while, but I had a group of students, and we were traveling. We went to this church, and the pastor said, I want these college kids to hang out with my teenagers. And so all the teenagers are sitting around a table. We're all at the same table, but they're texting each other. They never even talk to the students. Yeah. Interesting days we're living in. If somebody told you to put your phone down for a week, you'd probably go into some form of, kind of like the guy that, his dad had a zero-turn mower. I don't know whether you saw that or not, but he had Xbox and all these other computer games and stuff, and he wouldn't go to bed at night, and he wasn't doing good in school, and the father was fed up. He wouldn't get a job. Why get a job when you don't have to have one? So he brought all that stuff out into the lawn. I mean, you're talking about everything you can imagine to get into gaming and playing games. And he sat there with that zero-turn mower. And that son comes home and is standing there and he goes, what are you doing, Dad? He said, you won't do what I tell you. You don't go to bed at night. And he listed off a litany of things. And then he started that mower and he drove right over it. Plastic flying all over the place. And the kid came unglued. He couldn't believe it. I wonder how much time he spent. How much time are we wasting that God's work could be furthered? If we made a commitment to say, I'm going to give more of my time to the Lord, I'm not going to watch anything that I wouldn't watch if my pastor was over. Well, I want to let you in on a little secret. God is already there. And I don't know about you, but when I hear something or see something that's wrong, I get grieved real fast. And I have to shut it off. And that's not worth going back to. Well, what happened? It doesn't matter. When people are blaspheming God and living in sin, we ought not to be a part of it. What happens is we become desensitized by misusing our time. And all Satan wants to do is get us inactive. He doesn't mind you're going to church. In fact, he's like, you go ahead, put on that little show, but I got you. And you spend more time with me than you've ever spent with Jesus. We need a revival when it comes to our time. Amen. I want to close by mentioning that we're going to stand before the Lord and give an account. Habakkuk 2:3 says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Romans 13:11 says, and that knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son. When the fullness of time comes for you, what are you going to do? God's looking for servants. God's looking for preachers. God's looking for missionaries. God's looking for faithful church members. And I know many of you are, and you proved it this evening. Thank God for the ministries of Worth Baptist Church. You ought to be so thankful that God is giving you an opportunity to use your time for his glory. And you know what? You ought to find somebody that's not serving and encourage them to be a part of it. Amen. Amen. Have such a spirit about serving that others, can I do that too? We had a lady in our church. She said, now, Pastor, I want to be a Sunday school helper, but I could never be a Sunday school teacher. Boy, that was a statement there. So I said, okay, you do not have to teach. And if the teacher's not able to be there, we'll get somebody else to. Oh, thank you, Pastor. About 3 months into it, the teacher was going to be out, and she said, you know, I think I could do that. She got up and taught, and then she came to me, and she said, Pastor, could I have my own class? We call that multiplication. God's into multiplication, isn't he? What could God do if everybody was involved? Oh my, it's so exciting. And we must share our time with God and with others. The Bible says, redeem the times because the days are evil. The Bible says we're to lay up in store in spiritual things. So many people are so busy with materialism. I got to have this, and I've got to have that. Remember when you were happy and didn't have any of that? The more you get, the more you want. Yeah. That's dangerous, isn't it? The Bible says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then what? It vanisheth away. In closing, in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 30, the Bible says, in the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. In order to get saved, there must be repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you agree? Amen. Well, in Christian living, there's a need for us to get detailed in our life. Let's take time as a detail. How many of you are wasting time? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. And you would like to start redeeming the time instead of wasting it. If you'll do that, there's a biblical guarantee that you will be happier by putting God first than you will ever be happy pleasing yourself. Let's have heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. I would like you tonight to be honest before the Lord, because He already knows your schedule. He knows all about the hours in your life. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song of invitation tonight. But you know what I'd like you to do? If God spoke to you specifically about something about time, I don't want you to sing. I want you to come. And I want you to find a place here at this altar and say, Lord, I need to tweak my time. I need to sit down with my family, my wife, and I need to make sure that we are really pleasing the Lord. Sometimes wives are neglected. Sometimes husbands are neglected. Oftentimes children are neglected because we use our time in the wrong way. As we begin to sing, brothers.